All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those of you listening or watching online, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we're in the middle, as the video said, of a series called Our God is for Us. And throughout the summer and the fall, we spent a ton of time looking at how we can love better, how we can experience more, all of these different things that we could put into place in our lives, and kind of began to walk down that journey. But the problem is, when you begin to have that conversation, is that it's very easy to begin to believe that all of this and all of our hope is found in what we're going to do as opposed to what God is doing. And we can begin to lose sight of the fact that we are not accomplishing something for Him, but that we are actually accomplishing something with Him, and He's the primary worker in that equation. And so we kind of shifted gears as we came to the end of this year, or the end of this fall, and we began this conversation called Our God is for Us, and really trying to help us to understand everything that God is doing as we're pursuing loving people better. Everything that God is doing, and just how relentlessly He's working as we're trying to experience Him. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the fact that God goes before us. And so often we can begin to think that we're the ones who are kind of forging the path, and sometimes we even think that God might be behind us, like cleaning up our mess, when the truth is, the scriptures say that God goes before us, and that not only is He preparing you for the future, but that He's preparing the future for you, and that He is the one who forges the path, and we get to come along side of Him or behind Him in this. And then last week we looked at and built on that with this idea of God is pursuing us. And we say it every single week here at Hoboken Grace, but we really, really looked at it from a scriptural perspective of just all the different ways that God pursues us, and that He's the one who's initiating this relationship. And sometimes we can begin to believe, especially when we're trying to experience Him more, we can begin to believe that we're the pursuer, when scriptures really show us that God is pursuing us constantly, relentlessly, tirelessly. And this beautiful truth of the relationship that we have, that as we're trying to draw close to Him, that He's actually drawing us to Himself and pursuing us. And so we've begun to look at these really beautiful, powerful truths about how we work with God in this, that we're not the ones who are making this happen, but that God is the one who's actually making this happen, and all the different ways that that's true. Just phenomenally hopeful messages that we see in the scripture, and encouraging messages of, man, look at what's happening and look at what's possible. Now, anytime we begin to talk about hope, anytime that we begin to talk about what God is doing and just the beauty of it and how amazing it is, one of the things that I am always aware of is the fact that for a lot of people, they're going to look at this message and they're going to look at things like what we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and they're going to say, man, that is phenomenal. And I would love to experience that if I could just fix this over here. And to be honest with you, for most of my life, the way that I heard messages of hope and encouragement were exactly that way. And so I would hear people talk to me about how God loves me, and how this unbelievable journey that God is bringing me into, and how God is fighting for me, and all these different truths about who God is. And I would think to myself, man, that is wonderful and incredible news if I hadn't blown it last night. Man, that would be unbelievably encouraging if I'd actually taken time to experience God this week. And whenever we begin to talk about what God's doing, and whenever we begin to work through the beauty of how He's loving us, of how He's pursuing us, all of the beauty that comes with this relationship with Him, I'm always aware of the fact that and I'd be willing to bet that it's a majority, if not a majority, pretty close to majority, that there's a huge number of people involved in the conversation who are thinking, man, that would be wonderful if. And there's this idea that these wonderful, these amazing things are possible with God if I could just do what he's asked me to do, or if I could just change course, if I could just do a little better, if I could just find victory over this one thing. And so what is intended to be hopeful almost becomes depressing. Because one of the things that I've discovered on this journey is that there's always an if. And sometimes in the midst of the conversation, we think to ourselves, well, that'd be wonderful if I could just get victory over this. And so you work and you work and you work and you work and you finally get victory over this. And so you find yourself back in that conversation again. You'd be that'd be wonderful. But then you realize that there's something else. There's another if. And what was meant to be encouraging and hopeful, it ends up being almost depressing. And for some of you, I'd be willing to bet that's exactly what the last few weeks have been like. You've heard us talk about that God is for you, and you thought to yourself, man, that is amazing that God is going before me and that God has prepared me for the future. But you walked out of Sunday, or either you're here and you remembered what happened Saturday night or Friday night or Thursday night or Sunday morning. Or you walked out of Sunday and walked into Sunday night and did something stupid. And in that moment, either as you were first hearing it or as you made that mistake, you thought to yourself, it would be wonderful if I could just get it together. And I would propose to you this morning that the lie of if is, number one, entirely a lie, and number two, will destroy you on this journey. And I would love to tell you that today, as we talk through this, that there's a way to be able to get away from the lie that your relationship with God, or that in some way, shape, or form, your experience of these wonderful aspects of who God is based on your performance. But here's the thing that I think the scriptures tell us, and I want to walk you through it today. I believe that you're going to constantly live in a state where you're going to have to battle that lie. That our entire lives, this entire journey, we're going to have to battle the lie that our God is for us if. And some of you are even sitting here thinking to yourself, no, I really do believe that. I don't think it's a lie. I think it's true. I think our God is for us if we make the right decisions. I think that God is for us if I get things under control. I think that God is for us if I'm able to overcome the things that he's asked me to overcome. I would propose to you that it's a lie. I would propose to you that it's a lie that you're going to have to fight your entire lives. And I think the scriptures actually teaches us that there is someone who's actively working to bring this lie into your life. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says this. It says, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now, I understand that for some of you, when we start talking about the devil, it's a little weird for you and you're not really sure what to do with it. But here's one of the things that I think that we all know. We all know that there is something that is trying to destroy us, that there is evil. And the scriptures, when it comes to us, it begins to teach us about what this world is like and what's happening in this world. It says, listen, you need to understand something. This is not just a force. There is someone who is actively working against you. And just as true as it is that God is for you, it's just as true that there is someone who is actively, passionately, relentlessly against you, who wants nothing more than to absolutely and utterly destroy you, to rob you of everything you were ever created for, everything that God has in store for you. And when you look at the scriptures and what it tells us about who he is and how he works, I think that you see that this lie of God being for you if is one of the things that he uses over and over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, there's two tools that the scriptures say that Satan uses constantly in your life and in my life to try to work to destroy us. The first one is the tool of deception. Listen to what it says in John 8:44. And Jesus is talking to this huge crowd of people, and in this crowd are those who will eventually kill him, the Pharisees. And as he's talking to them, he says this. He says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The scriptures don't just want you to understand that there's someone who's actively working against you. It also, God wants you to understand what it is that he's using to destroy you. And you see, as Jesus is describing him, he's saying, listen, when Satan lies, he's actually living in integrity because that's who he is, to the very core of who he is. And so constantly in your life and in my life, he's trying to bring these lies in to be able to keep us from what God has in store for us, to be able to keep you from being able to experience the love and the joy and the peace and all of these beautiful things that come when we're living in him and for him. And so he brings these lies. You see that he's cast as this deceiver. And in my life, as I look back in these moments where I'm hearing these unbelievable messages of hope, the lie is never that outright God is against you. Because I think Satan is more subtle than that. He never comes to me with, you know what, Chris, God is just against you. There have been a couple of times where that's been the case as I'm walking through something really, really difficult. But usually that's not the lie. The lie in my life over and over and over again is much more subtle. And I'll find myself in situations like what we've been in for the last couple of weeks, and I'll be hearing this unbelievable message of hope, and there's just little lie that just gets slipped in there with it. Man, God, it's amazing what God wants to do for you. If. And I think it goes hand in hand with the other tool that you see in the scriptures that you see him using over and over and over again. I want to take you to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, you see his second tool, which is not just deception, but also accusation. And so in Revelation 12:10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night.'" And you see this second tool that he uses in our lives over and over again, this tool of accusation. And so he steps into your life as you're hearing this beautiful message of who God is and what God wants to do for you. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that conversation, you hear this voice in the back of your head that just starts listing all the reasons why that could never be possible. And I've been in those moments where those voices of, but remember what you looked at? Remember what you did? Remember where you went? Remember what you did to her? Remember what you said to him? And all of a sudden, that list just begins to be laid out in the back of my mind, and those accusations just start coming one after another, after another, after another, after another. It would be wonderful if God was for you, but he's not yet. God is for you if. I've seen it happen in my life countless times. And I'd be willing to bet that for many of you, as you've walked through this with us, it's exactly where you are. And so this message that was supposed to bring hope almost seems hopeless. And I would contend to you that it's because there is someone who is trying to destroy you, who is actively trying to just twist the truth a little bit to rob you of what God has in store for you. Someone who is actively trying to destroy you, who is bringing those accusations against you over and over and over and over again. And for many of you, you know it. Because that has been and is your reality. And the bad news is that the scriptures don't say that this is going to end until it's over. The bad news is that this is the battle in which we live, that this is our reality. This is the way that it is. It's not going to change. And he's going to continue to accuse you, and he's going to continue to try to slip in that lie. He's going to continue to try to convince you that God is for you if. But at the same time, there is phenomenal good news. And in the book of 1 John, John shows us the rest of the picture. And it's interesting because in the book of 1 John, John is writing to a church in which people aren't loving each other very well. And so he's calling them to love better. He's calling them to love God better. He's calling them to love each other better. He's calling them to love better. And in the midst of that, I believe that John realizes that his words could be used very easily to convince people that God is for them if. And so he as he gets to chapter 2, he includes this picture of what's happening in heaven, I believe, to be able to counteract that and to make sure that you understand that is absolutely, positively a lie. I want to take you to this passage. It's found in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 1. It says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin." And ultimately, he's saying, I'm writing this to you because I want you to be able to love better. I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to hurt the people around you. I don't want you to break that relationship that you have with God. I want you to love better. So that's the goal here. But John also knows that there's always going to be an if. He also knows that we're always going to fall short. That there's always going to be something that we're struggling with, that there's always going to be something on that list that's going to be brought against us. And so he doesn't stop there. He says, "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." I want to read that to you again. Just let this just soak into you. It says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." Now, just as an aside really quickly here, I want to draw your attention to the last line of this passage, "and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world." For some of you, you walked in today, and you've been told your entire life that your relationship with God is based upon what you do. You've been told your entire life that you have to fix something about who you are and then God will accept you. I want you to hear the last line of this verse. "And not only our sins, he himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world." What John wants for you to be able to understand today, for those of you who have not stepped into a relationship with Jesus Christ, is this: it's done for you. It's done for you. And the only thing that will keep you from experiencing forgiveness, the only thing that will keep you from experiencing a relationship with God that is free from all the crap that's been a part of your past, is if you reject it. It's already done. It's open. It's right there for you to take. And Jesus isn't waiting to see the decision that you'll make to die for you. He already died. It's already done. The only thing that will keep you from it is if you say no. You don't want it. It's right there. If you just trust him. And then in addition to that, you see this unbelievable picture that's being painted here of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ is continuing to do for us. And so not only has he given his life for us, not only has he brought us freedom and forgiveness, but as you look at these passages in Revelation and 1 John, you see the situation in which God is sitting on his throne and Satan is coming and saying, look at what this person's doing over here, and look what they did over here, and look what they did over here, and look what they did over here, just constantly bringing those accusations, bringing them to you, bringing them to him, and just constantly accusing you of all of the ways in which you've fallen short. But right alongside of this, you see Jesus. And I love this picture. He's portrayed as our lawyer. For those of you who are lawyers, you finally have good company, right? He's portrayed as this lawyer who's arguing our case. And so Satan's sitting there over and over and over again. Look at what happened last night. Look at what happened over there. Look at, they said they were never going to do that again. They said that was over. Look at what's happening over here. I told you it was going to happen again. I told you. Look at accusation after accusation after accusation. And Jesus is standing right beside him. And yeah, you're right. It happened again. Yep, you're right. But you remember what happened here? You remember what happened here? You remember the spear that was thrust into my side? You remember what happened on that cross? It's paid for. It's paid for. And in your life and in my life, we have got to wrap our lives around this truth. To wrap our lives around this truth that God is fighting for us. And the truth is, you're going to live in the midst of this battle, and those accusations, they're going to come, and you're going to find yourself, even right now, some of you, as you're hearing about who God is, there's just this list, and you're like, it can't be for me. It can't be for me because of all the things, all the different ways you've blown it, all of your baggage. But if you will listen to what God has for you, if you will listen to the Spirit of God that is inside of you, I believe that absolutely we will live our lives in such a way where Satan will constantly be coming to us and he will say to us, this is not for you. It could be for you if you would just get this right. It could be for you if you would just get it together. It could be for you if you could just change course, but you can't change course, and you've been saying you're going to change course, and you've been saying it's going to get better, and you've been saying you're going to be able to find victory in this, and you've been saying it's going to be different, but it's not different, and so it's not for you. And if you'll listen to God and you'll listen to the Spirit of God inside you, I believe that you will hear Jesus Christ saying right along with him, yes, you're absolutely right. He blew it again. Yes, you're absolutely right. He did not live up to it, but I gave my life for that. I gave my life to take his place. And as you look at this picture before God, I believe that without question, as the arguments are being made, you will hear God over and over and over again say, absolutely, it's absolutely true, but they are not guilty. Not guilty. The reality is, there is no more if. The if died on that cross. and for you and for me. And no matter where you are on this journey, if you will accept what Jesus Christ has done for you, now and forever, there will never be another if. It is over. It's over. And it doesn't matter how many times he brings the accusations. The Spirit of God represents you. And it represents you with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Not guilty. Not guilty. There's no more if. There never will be an if. Our God is not for us if. Our God is for us. And your God is for you the same after you fail as he was before. Our God is for us. And in the midst of this battle with these lies and these accusations, he is actively fighting for you to know the truth. To know this reality that there is no if. As you look back through church history, it's amazing. Because as you look at those who have experienced God in unbelievable ways, you see that they had an intimate connection to this truth. You look back at the story of Luther and you see a man who's constantly fighting against all of these accusations and he writes personally about the inward battle that he's constantly facing of these lies that you can't do it, you're not good enough, you're not going to be able to measure up to this, God would be for you if, and in the midst of that battle, he's bringing this truth over and over and over and over again into that conversation. And for some of you, you need to take this passage from 1 John and you need to put that somewhere in your house where you're going to see it over and over again to remind you, because you give in to those accusations and you believe that lie. And you need to actively combat it with this truth, to memorize this passage that he is constantly fighting your case and that you are not guilty. Some of you need one of these in your house. I'll be honest with you, we ordered judge gavels, but they didn't come in. So I had to go to Home Depot this morning. This thing is more like Thor. Honestly, we were going to give them out and like throw them out into the crowd, but if I threw this out, someone would die. Literally die. And as we prepared for today, I actually wanted to get one for every single person who is here, but it was way too expensive. But here's the thing I know. You fight this battle. Don't let him deceive you. And if you need to get a gavel set in your house, so that in the midst of that battle, you can go to it and to hear that sound, to remind yourself that you're not guilty, then you do it. If you're like me, you'll be using it so much your neighbors will think you're renovating your house. Our God is not for us if. Your God is not for you if. That's been over for a long time. Your God is for you. Relentlessly, passionately, for you. Trust Him. Listen to Him. And He will remind you of it all the time. Will you pray with me? Father, it's unbelievable to me just how far you've gone for us. The reality that you've done it. The reality that it's over. You won. And you allow us to be part of that. To be able to say, we've won. And we know that you've called us to continue the battle, to be able to bring this truth to those who don't yet know it. But the reality is that we've won. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's all over. Father, I pray that we would wrap our lives around this truth. That we would bring ourselves back to it whenever we begin to hear that subtle lie. That you would be for us if, whenever we begin to hear those accusations, to know that you are now and forever for us. We bow and worship. We love you. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name.